The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
When we talk about marriage contract, the word aqd, you know, nikah or aqd, we use these words, you know, interchangeably. Aqd means a contract. And like any other contract, the marriage contract also has three essential conditions. Number one is the proposal from the side of the bride. You know, when we recite the nikah, it is, we basically do the proposal on side of the bride. And the acceptance, the second condition is that the groom or the groom's wakil would accept that proposal. And then the third important condition, without that, a nikah would not be valid, and that is mahar. That is a very essential condition. Now, in Arabic, we use the word mahar or sadaq. The proper English translation of that would be consideration. Consideration that groom agrees to give to the bride at the time of marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, ayat number 4, chapter 4, ayat 4, he says, وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نَحْلَةً. You know, give them the sadaqat. Here is not sadaqa. You know, you're not giving sadaqa to your wife. This is actually nahlatan. This is a gift. And so the word mahar and sadaq are again in the same meaning. Even in the nikah ceremonies, if you didn't pay attention in your own ceremony, remember that when we say, you know, ankahtu muwakilati ala al mahar al ma'loom. The mahar, the word mahram is used. Sometimes we say ala sadaqil ma'lum instead of mahar. So these are in the same meaning. Now, mahar is basically the right of the bride. It is for her or her guardian to specify it. You know, and the groom can either agree or negotiate to bring it down. If it is a higher amount that he thinks is, you know, maybe beyond his ability, until that they come to an agreement. And so remember that when we talk about mahar, there is one more also misconception among, especially non-Muslims. They think that mahar means, you know, the groom is buying the wife. No. It's not really, it's actually is a symbolic gesture of the man's love for the woman that he would like to marry. And you see that even the Western tradition, when we talk about proposal and acceptance, you know, the way the man, you know, goes down on the knees, and I'm not saying this is mustahab, huh? I'm just giving an example. Even in the Western system, you know, it is a way of expressing his, you know, love for that woman. And so mahar is something like that. Second important point about mahar is not necessarily a monetary or material item. It can be, or it could be something else. Doesn't have to be dollar and cents. It could be a service. You know, if a woman is marrying someone who is very good in a good qari of Quran, and she doesn't know how to read the Quran, she can say, my mahar is that you will teach me how to read the Quran. It's the easy way out, huh? For the qari or somebody who knows that. You know, she can even say, okay, my mahar is that for 1 year you will serve as a tea server in the Jamaat functions for 1 year. And if the groom agrees, that will be a valid condition. So it could be a service. It could be that, you know, you will pay for my higher education. So it's already there that, you know, the marriage cannot be a barrier as far as higher education is concerned. And now it's not the parents, for example, it is the husband who has to even pay for it. Or, for example, you know, the condition of Hajj. So it doesn't have to be dollar and cents, it could be anything. And this example of recitation of the Quran that I'm talking about is actually from the seerah of the Prophet, where a lady came and, you know, she wanted to get married, and Rasulullah asked the companions, who wants to marry her? A fellow stood up, he said, but I don't have any money. I can't give any mahar. So Rasulullah asked her, do you know how to read the Quran? She said, no. Do you know how to read the Quran? He said, yes. Your mahar is that you will teach her how to read the Quran. And she accepted it. And so it doesn't have to be dollar and cents, it can even be a service. Moreover, mahar can be immediate at the time of nikah, or it can be deferred upon demand whenever she wants. It can be partially immediate and partially deferred upon, you know, demand. And so there is a lot of flexibility in how, you know, the issue of payment of mahar is concerned. It is not connected with the issue of divorce. That's again a wrong concept that many people have. At the time of marriage, many times I get this question, Maulana, what is the mahar of Fatimi? What was the mahar of Fatima al-Zahra salawatullah alayha? It was 500 dirhams. Dirham means silver coins. In those days, each coin was actually 2.5 gram in weight. And so you basically have to look at 1.25 kilo of silver and its current value, and you will get that in the, you know, current equivalent of mahar Fatima salawatullah alayha. And so proposal and acceptance and mahar, these are the three essential conditions for an Islamic marriage. Without that, the marriage would not be valid. The issue of division of property, inshallah, we'll talk about it. It's a longer discussion. I can't cover that in one majlis, but I'll just say one thing, just to balance on the other side, that sometimes we've seen cases that the woman would like to have the right in Islamic Sharia, and then they will also go to the civil court and the Canadian way, so they have benefit from both sides. You realize the civil court might give you certain things as far as monetary issues and property issues are concerned, but from the Sharia point of view, if there is no proper agreement between the two, then that will be considered to be ghasb. And ghasb means this is usurpation. If it's, let's say, a house, then it becomes a ghasbi property. You cannot even do namaz in there. You know, we have this simple masail. When you do wuzu, you are told, make sure the water is mubah. The place where you're doing is wuzu is mubah. The cloth is mubah. What is mubah? Mubah is opposite of ghasb. Means something which is legally yours from the Sharia point of view, or you have a right to use it. And if it's not that, then it becomes ghasbi. Even your wuzu and namaz will become batil. And so these are serious issues where we have to, you know, educate the community more about it, so that we do not get into problems as far as our akhirah is concerned.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم.
وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.